Good morning from Northern California. I got lost this morning for about an hour with looking at my grandmother's history again. Every year, about this time, it's spring. Yes, Molly, Maggie, I mean. Every year I go through this a little bit because my FOMO passed away on the 21st of March during the spring equinox. And so it's bittersweet for me. I think of her fondly and I think of her a lot during the year, but on this particular time, 20th and the 21st, I always get a little reflective, nostalgic. Hey, what's you doing? Go get your food. I just fed you. Go get it. You have red paw. What did you do? What did you do? Have you been in my paint? And so this morning I sat down here at the computer and I just typed in her name because I thought, what, did she pass away on the 20th or the 21st? And it's usually the 21st is my memory. And it is. She passed away the 21st of March. But at the age of the ripe old age of 99. She had just turned 99 in February. And so I went looking and I came across this document. It was in a wiki. What do they call this now? I don't know. A wiki genealogy thing. It was bizarre. I had never seen this write-up, but it was one of her sister's daughters put it up in this. It looks like Ellen's daughter or granddaughter for that matter. I don't know. But I have researched this. I have researched. My grandmother went to Montana, and I went into the library, and I got these books down off the shelf, these daybreaks that they have. And my grandmother had gone back, I think, in the late 80s to go to one of their festivals, their annual celebrations of Dagmar, being a colony when they came from Denmark, her parents. Anyway, so I was familiar with this, but I had not read this part of it. I found my grandmother's story of her cemetery visit, but this is different. So I thought I would read it in to audio today. It was her words. Let me see if I can get it sort of full screen here so I can read it better. It's her speaking, and it's Eleonora Lodale Milne. I was born in February 16th, 1913, to Chris and Karen Lodale. And then she has it in parentheses, for brothers and sisters, see Ellen Nielsen's story, which I just read a minute ago. It says, I remember the prairie before it was broken up with all the pretty wildflowers, pink wild roses with a fragrance like no other smell on earth, crocuses, yellow violets, and buttercups in the coulees. There were cute little jackrabbits, meadowlarks, prairie chickens, mallard ducks, and many more natural wonders. Flax was the first crop grown in the sod. It bloomed in a certain blue, beautiful blue color, and we imagined it was an ocean on the prairie. A special good neighbor, Jens Nicolaisen, played cards with us. I helped my mother with the work, such as scrubbing diapers on the washboard in the galvanized tub. I learned to milk Pa's old cow, Sis. When I'd started school, Viola Larson walked with me and helped me, since I couldn't speak any English. Somewhere in this time frame, my one and only neighbor girlfriend died of a burst appendix. That was Mabel Olson. I was devastated. I got to drive the Model T out in the field. Later, Pa had me drive one of the teams on a hay bucker, and the hired man drove the other team. It was quite a tricky business to keep the teams in unison. And then below that, there's a picture of the Lowdale threshing outfit and girls, and I had never seen that photo before, so that must have been their farming equipment. And it goes on. At 13, Pa sent me to Granora with a load of wheat, with an empty 50-gallon gas barrel on top of the wheat. I remember rounding the curve by Stink Lake, and I nearly choked. I remember going along to Jim Anderson's blacksmith shop or Julius's in Dagmar as sort of a reward for work well done. I can hear the ringing of the hammer and anvil yet, and feel the heat from the fire. What an art in action. My father loved his horses, and they loved him, too. He petted them and called them by name. I had my special horses that I drove in the field, which I curried and harnessed in the morning. I really loved it outside, much more than in the house. At 15, I graduated from 8th grade. We were now 6 girls going to Hiawatha. In 1928, 4 cousins came from Denmark. The oldest, Niels Lowdale, stayed in Dagmar and became the owner of E.F. Madsen's house and farm, who was the founder of Dagmar. Niels has renovated the house so beautifully and planted evergreen trees all around. Madsen's daughter-in-law, Mina, was our choir leader, so sometimes we practiced at Madsen's. I had fun as a girl in Dagmar, along with the work. I went to Sunday school in the Brotherhood Hall, Danish school, 4-H club, choir, and folk dancing. We also went fishing in Medicine Lake, choke cherry picking in the sandhills, 5th of June, 4th of July at Brush Lake, Midsummer Fest at the church, a barn dance or two, dance at Carl Leeson, card parties and family gatherings at Christmas, as well as at the church. I was confirmed. Let me see if I can get out of here and go to the next page. I guess I have to escape, sorry. There we go. I was confirmed by the venerable H.C. Strandskov. Let me see if I can get it larger. Oh my God. Nathaniel Church. That's where I visited and saw the graveyard. I went to Dagmar Academy and had 2 wonderful years there. Edwin and Tira Hansen were fine teachers. Arthur Frost was pastor. He led us in singing and prayer each day. I taught Danish school 2 summers before I left home. One school was near Niels Sorensen's and the other Hiawatha. I worked for Mrs. Hunter and Mrs. Herman Nelson after high school. Threshing time was always exciting for us girls. There was so much activity about. It was a hard time for my mother preparing all that food. One year, Ellen and I had a bundle team together. That was a test on 2 young girls' ability in that heat and dust. I went to Chicago in 1933, then to California, and have been there since. I reared a family of 4 and have 10 grandchildren and a great-grandson. Now, this was back in 85 or something like that. And she actually had 2 great-great-grandchildren. The great-grandson was my child. And she had 2 great-great-grandchildren and another great-grandson before she passed, I think. So, that brings back so many good memories of her. And there's more about the family. Maybe I'll do that in another cast. I don't know. Maybe not. But I'm just thinking about her a lot. And it's not really a sadness. It's just sort of a longing, I guess, to hear her voice again. I think I'm going to try to find her recording. I have it on a CD somewhere. I probably put it away for safekeeping, and of course I can't find it. But anyway, it might be good to hear her speak in the next day or so about some of these stories she had. Maybe I'll try to find that for myself. But I just thought I would share. It's a good time. It's springtime for me, but it's also a little melancholy. Today's a rainy day. We have lots of rain coming in last night. The blossoms of the tree across the street are absolutely gorgeous. Pink. You know, what this reminded me of is my grandmother's love for flowers always, and she was always in the garden. And to hear and to read today that her recollection of the prairie and having been there back in 2015, my first time back to see the old place, the old homestead is partly still there. I don't know who owns that. I think it's just land. I don't know. I don't actually know that history very well. But I did see it, and I have some photographs of it. And maybe I'll put that photo on this cast. So anyway, just sort of reflective today. Have a good day, everybody. I drove out to Sherman Island over on the east side of my bay area, or up near the Sassoon Bay. Inlets coming in from all the way up from San Francisco Bay and through the Delta. Because I saw these windmills today that I hadn't really seen before very clearly. I kind of have taken pictures of them on the mountainsides. But they just stood out so much today against the sky. I thought, I'm going to go find those. So I did. I haven't been out this bridge for a long time. Wow. I'm just seeing a huge flock. That's white. White heron, maybe? Green. Cranes? Wow. Maybe they're seagulls. They're sort of in the distance. Anyway. Now they're all landing in the field, they must be. Well, this is sort of a marshland out here with different little winding waterways. I'm at the very end of Sherman Island Road. And there's a couple people along the way here, this 3 mile stretch, that are fishing. Can I get out for a minute? It's probably gonna be really windy. Yeah. You know, as a kid, I always wondered why it was so windy out here. We'd come out here as kids, and my mom and stepfather would bring us out here. Sucked in the heat there from the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay. Fog would come in there. We'd suck in that fog. It got so hot inland, and then we'd come out here to this waterway. Forgot how close it was. I'm gonna take some pictures tonight as the sun sets of these windmills. Even though that was their mom. That's weird, isn't it? No, they called her Ma. But I guess my grandmother, it was just easiest for us kids to call her Momo, I suppose. I think she had a very close connection to her mother's mother, who was there in Dagmar, Montana, who came from Denmark. Her mother and her mother's mother came from Jylland, Isberg, as far as I can trace back. Interesting that both my mother's or grandmother's father and mother were from the same part of Denmark in a way. She was from the south and he was from more of the central west. I find that fascinating. But they didn't find each other until they were over in Montana, I think. Although that might not be right. I'm going to have to go back and look at that story. Because today I read something in one of the readings that my father's father came over. No, not my father's. My grandmother's father came over and then had the wife come over. I'm going to go back and look at my ancestry. You know, it's so weird. You do that work, which I did over several years, and really kind of haven't looked at it for a couple now. I mean, not really intensely like I was. I was really intensely doing it between 2014 and 15, and somewhat in 16, thinking I was going to come back over to Denmark and live. And, these windmills sort of remind me of Denmark in a way. They have actually, there's more here. See, this is a wind farm here in California. I was sort of surprised looking at how to get out here today. Kind of traveling around here with my discussion, but I was sort of surprised about how much industry we have with generating power here in my state. wind power, hydropower, thermal power, geopower. It's just like crazy. It's like, wow, okay. Because I always think of my state as an agricultural state, which it is, but I wonder where. Well, back in the day when I was still in the corporate world, we were thought of as like about the sixth largest economy, I guess, in the world. California could be like a little country on our own here. It's kind of nice out here, very peaceful. Cows on either side of the road. Here's a very little narrow winding road. Big body of water. It's a levee road. So the road is keeping the water funneled, you know, coming in from the bigger bay coming up north here. And then there were sheep on the other side and real farming land all out in here. I took some photos today of the sky and the green hills near my home. That's kind of where I discovered the windmills. And the old army bunkers, naval weapon, actually it's Navy, I guess. Well, Navy Army is there, I don't know. I don't get the military stuff, but anyway, they were bunkers. There's bunkers all around my house. I live sort of near an old naval weapons station. There was a huge controversy way back when about nuclear armaments and stuff going through this area on the railroad. So, this is the end of my day. With the peaceful water. The turning of the windmills. With the light coming on them. It's very relaxing. Yeah. Okay, that's enough out of me today. Let me see if I can get my phone to wake up again. Have a good afternoon, evening, or morning, wherever you are. I used to go down to, the jazz in Redwoods, or Blues Fest, the blues, live blues, Redwood City. Geez, I wonder if they're taping these from there. Fast food alley I'm passing by. I'm hungry. I'm trying to wait till I get home. It's the super moon, full moon tonight, coming up for equinox. I was going to see who this was, but...
Yes. Grateful Dead, December 31st, 71, that was actually...
Oh, I should have recognized him.
First 1972, since they started that 18-song first set.
They sounded like Grateful Dead on the first song I had on. I was like,
And so the last bit we just heard... set went like this. Next time you see me playing the band, a really short version, and Loser, and then one more Saturday night. So thanks to David Gans and Charlie Miller and Tim Lynch for getting this together. I had an old copy of this recording, and it had all kinds of pitch and speed issues and hum and buzz. It was recorded off the radio, so we are extra happy to play it over the radio for you again today in its remastered form. Here on Dead to the World, I'm not going to talk too much because we don't have much time to
Dead to the World. Oh.
Rest of this bit into this hour. So
this is coming out
right
of Berkeley.
That was a short
KPFA.
Break between first and second set, wasn't it? Yes. So let's get right back into it with Uncle Bobo, Bill Graham, telling us about the fellas on stage. Here on KPFA's Dead to the World, my name is David Ogilvie. We'll talk about some shows upcoming after we talk to the hour and play a little more Dead. we'll have time for another edition.
Maybe one more song and then I'm going to call it a night. I got to go to bed tonight too. I'm going to work in the morning.
Playing something
at the school and it's fourth grade class tomorrow. Fourth grade.
Anyway.
Special ed too, I think.
New Year's Eve, or rather New Year's Day.
Should be interesting. 10 kids, I think, is all that's in that class. Ten for the money.
Cross country too, and a lot of the other bands would have done what they've been doing for the last few months. I think the whole thing would be in better shape. That every town they went to, they already made arrangements with the FM station in that town to broadcast all of their shows live in those areas. So that. Something to be said for what we have here. Once again, for your pleasure and mine, the Grateful Dead.
Thank you. so. Catch you on the next one.